This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Now from Times Square, here's what you need to know.
All right, can we talk to America's favorite doctor, Please. Dr. Jan? So apparently there's a brand new study that's taking a look at how exercise can impact sleep quality.
Right, and remember, we are a chronically sleep-deprived country. So this recent study published in the British Medical Journal may offer some suggestions on how to improve your sleep quality. They looked at about 4,000 adults, ages 20 to 44, followed them for a decade. What they found is that exercise just 2 days a week, you guys, for a total of 1 hour, that's below the minimum exercise suggestions, by the way, had a big improvement in the quality and quantity. They reduced early morning awakenings and difficulty falling asleep, and they increased the duration of their sleep. About 6 to 9 hours a night was their target. Again, big picture here, according to the CDC, a third of us do not get enough sleep on a regular basis, particularly those who work in morning news television.
And have little small feet running around the house like my friend right here.
Small feet like to wake up early. So even some exercise, good for your body, but also good for your sleep.
And just an hour a week, so 2 days, 30 minutes of workout.
To be clear, you need more than that. But in terms of sleep effects, that's all it takes to have a potential benefit.
And another question, does it matter if you exercise in the morning versus in the evening?
You know, it's very individual. You have to do what feels good for you. But there is slightly more data that suggests that working out in the morning is better, because if you work out too late at night, it can actually rev you up. Obviously not what
then
we want.
You can't fall asleep.
That's correct.
Thank you, Doc.
You bet.
Let's turn now to ABC's Jay O'Brien in Washington with our latest headlines. Good afternoon to you, Jay.
Eva, my friend, good afternoon. And we're learning more about the final moments on that cargo ship before it slammed into the Key Bridge in Baltimore. The NTSB reviewing preliminary data from the voice and data recorders on board that ship as the bodies of two victims were recovered, several bridge workers still missing. And millions on alert for flooding today. We turn now to Sam Champion with our forecast.
Long line of rain on the East Coast. Just want to pause for a minute right around Baltimore, Washington area. That's right around here where the bridge collapses. But look at the rain that goes from Florida all the way into Maine. So Florida, about 5 inches of rain. The 75-mile-per-hour winds took a lot of trees down in Valdosta. That rain takes a long time to get off the northeastern shoreline. It's probably late tonight into tomorrow morning by the time we pull that out of the way. Even a little snow in northern Maine. But it's the West Coast storm number two that's going to be a real issue. This is Friday evening and through Saturday. We've had so much rain, more than their yearly total in LA already in March. So high risk for flooding right along the coastline, Santa Barbara into San Diego. Guys?
And Idaho officials say this surveillance footage shows the moments before the University of Utah women's basketball team says it was racially harassed after a meal in Coeur d'Alene, in town for an NCAA game. As you reported earlier on GMA DeMarco, police investigating this video showing players leaving a restaurant. You see it there just before people outside began revving up their engines of their pickup trucks and allegedly shouting racist slurs, forcing the team to switch to a hotel in a different state. And funeral services are planned for former Connecticut Senator Joe Lieberman, the first Jewish American to run for vice president, dying of complications after a fall. Lieberman most recently helped to create and lead the No Labels group to find challengers to run against both President Biden and former President Trump. And politics takes center stage tonight in New York City with three current and former presidents at a star-studded fundraiser at Radio City Music Hall. Former Presidents Obama and Clinton supporting current President Joe Biden and his re-election bid. 5,000 people expected to attend. And in March Madness news, the Sweet 16 for the men tips off tonight. Caitlin Clark and the Iowa women's basketball team back in action Saturday night. Ice Cube is offering the star $5 million to play in his Big Three league. That is just one of many offers that superstar is fielding as she is about to turn pro, guys. We could not be more excited for her.
Oh, talk about a star in the making. Right? I mean, she's already a star, but she's going to be huge.
Yeah, so much fun to watch.
Yeah, Jay, thank you, and good to see you, man. All right, still ahead on a GMA3 on this Thursday, the new album galloping onto the country scene, Cowboy Carter, dropping tomorrow. We're going to take a look at Beyonce's country debut and its expected impact.
Little yee-haw there, right? Mm-hmm. Plus, the new documentary capturing a gifted young man's journey into dance, his life stream.
It is a pivotal music journey that's being met with both praise and criticism. And joining us now for more on this hot topic, ABC News contributor, my friend Mike Muse, and my other friend, entertainment journalist Corey Murray. Good to see the both of you guys.
Good morning.
All right, so Mike, we'll start with you. So let's talk about this album. I mean, she gave us a taste with two singles, Super Bowl Sunday. Everybody went crazy. What can we expect?
We can expect so much good music from this album that Beyonce is set to drop, but more so than just the good music that's expected to drop, we're also too gonna get a lot of historical lessons and discourse of the origins of country music. She has done two things by both in song and in visualization of recentering Black individuals and identity into country music, starting with the lead single, Texas Hold'em, with the key instrument being the banjo as the lead, really declaring that the banjo has been the context of country music coming from the instrumentation of the diaspora all the way into North America and really infusing the fundamentals of what country music is. And then the second part, the visuals of cowboy culture. Cowboy culture, Black individuals have been part of cowboy culture since the early 19th century. In the mid-1880s, you start to see enslaved people become free individuals and start getting work as cowboys during that time period. And so she's really centering Black identity in cowboy culture and in rodeo culture.
Okay, Corey, you are a Texas native, just yes. like Beyonce. How does this sort of celebrate where she comes from?
I know she had the album Homecoming, but this is truly a homecoming. She has been giving droplets. She's never been shy about her love of being from Houston, being from Texas, but also being a rodeo girl. Like, she has always loved just that culture. I remember a clip of her, I think when she was a part of Destiny's Child, and Destiny's Child got to perform at the Houston Rodeo, which is a huge thing, and the excitement on her face. When I worked at Essence Magazine, we did a cover with her in July 2011, and we had some ideas, and one of the ideas was like, why don't we talk about your love of Texas and cowboys? And she was like, yes. She was like, when I was little, I had a pair of pink cowboy boots that Mama Tina could fight me to take off. So this is definitely home for Beyonce.
And you know, she grew up in Texas. So yeah. Mike, let's talk about the controversy. Some are saying she's not country enough. She's not country to begin with. She was born in Texas, grew up wearing cowgirl boots, cowboy boots, whatever you want to call it. And then you hear people saying that she needs to stay in her lane.
You absolutely do, but I think she's pushing back on that and saying there is no name lane to be claimed. No one really owns this provenance concept of music. And so for people to feel like this is a genre that they own speaks to a lot of otherisms and othering that we have here in America and the global society as a whole. But what she's doing is she's taking that negative energy that was surrounding her country music performance at the CMAs. She's taken that negative energy around her wanting to get into country music, reclaiming that energy as power. And to Marco and Eva and Corey, while she's doing that, she's lifting a boat as she rises, really bringing forward other Black artists within country music so that we all can celebrate the beauty that is country music.
You know, Corey, the track for Cowboy Carter is out now. It included her single 16 Carriages and Texas Hold'em. It also had a few nods to some, like, big country heavy hitters. Do you think that helps her in all of this?
Yes, it does. So this is definitely Beyonce saying, hey, I am here for this genre, and I know this genre, and I belong in this genre.
Love it or not.
Yes.
She's here.
Yes.
And here to stay.
Yes.
All right, Mike, before you go, let's talk about Beyonce's impact when it comes to Renaissance. I mean, she turned it into a franchise. So what can we expect with this new album?
I mean, Corey, what Beyonce does and what she's known for is shifting and shaping culture. I'm really excited for the anticipation to see how she's going to shift culture in a major way, to really look at how cowboy culture is going to be reshifted and shaped, how country music is going to be shifted and shaped, the types of sub-genre music of country that I'm sure is to come following Beyonce's lead. It's just going to be an exciting time.
You're so right, because I'm seeing some of my friends who were in California cowboy boots now and hats and stuff. And I'm like, oh, okay, so you country now. Yeah. She really is shifting the dynamics.
A lot of stuff is left over from the Renaissance tour, but that's fine. That's fine.
Also, everyone looks good in cowboy boots, let's be real.
Everybody.
Yes.
Thanks, y'all. ABC News contributor Mike Muse and entertainment journalist Corey Murray, thank you both for being with us. And just ahead here on GMA3, the touching new documentary, Dancing on the Screen.
I am in love with this, featuring a young talent following a lifelong dream.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts. Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers Group Text podcast now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip. In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one Group Text you won't want to exit.
Sometimes I close my eye, imagine myself in the big stage. I was 5 years old when I discovered ballet. Ballet is not accepted in Nigeria. People think that it's not for boys.
But he's proven them wrong. This is a must-see for the entire family. That was a clip from the much-anticipated Disney Plus movie, Madhu. The film focuses on then-12-year-old Anthony Madhu, who is following his dancing dreams from his hometown of Lagos to a ballet school in England.
And he is here to tell us more alongside the co-director of the film. Please welcome Anthony Madhu and Matt Okins. So, Anthony, we have to start with you. I mean, congrats. Also, you're 14. Can we just take a
minute? Still growing.
14 years old, when you see yourself like that, I mean, you went viral dancing. That was part of how this all started. And think about it all. What goes through your head?
Excitement, really. Kind of like, to me, it's like now I kind of like want to enjoy the moment right now, and I say sometimes I look back to like when to like the video and stuff, and I'm like, wow, because I've improved so much now. And
that's the video there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you're such a natural. When did you know it was a special talent of yours?
Well, I didn't really see it as a talent. Well, not really, but I just love dancing and I wanted to do it, so I told my mom that I wanted to dance, and she was able to put me into dance school. Yeah.
Nice. And Matt, you discovered him before he went viral. What was that moment like? And did you say to yourself, there's something great about this guy?
Yeah, we discovered him maybe a week before it went viral. Me and my producers and my co-director, Kachi Benson, who is in Nigeria, he's a Nigerian filmmaker, found the video, and it was, there was something in his body language, his confidence and his courage, that I always lead with curiosity when I'm looking for stories, and I just had to know who this kid was. It didn't have a name or say where it was at the time. It didn't say Anthony Madhu. So we went down the internet rabbit hole and social media rabbit hole to see who posted it and where it came from, and found him. And within, I think, a week, I was on a FaceTime with him and his family. from the States to Lagos.
So crazy, and you're like dancing in the rain.
Yeah.
It's such a like beautiful kind of life thing, right? What do you hope that people take away when they see this?
I think what I hope for people to take away is I just want them to never give up on their dreams and to always like follow it no matter what, because like it doesn't have to be dancing, it could be anything, because like everything other people wants to do has some sort of negativity to it of what people think and all that stuff, and I just want them to ignore it all and follow their dreams.
And your message specifically for little boys around the world who are picked on because they dance and they love ballet, what would you say to them?
To keep going, and I'll say to also have a set, like to have a picture of where they want to get to and also keep working hard.
Did you dream this was possible?
I mean, well, sometimes, but
Well, you're only 14, so the whole world is your oyster still, for sure. Thank you so much, Anthony and Matt, for joining us today.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having us.
And Madhu is set to release tomorrow on Disney+. When we come back, Dr. Jen Ashton's list of foods that can cool women's menopause symptoms.
And later, the power of mentoring. We're back now with Dr. Jan, taking a look at a new study that answers the question, are eggs really bad for your cholesterol?
All right, listen, I loved this study because, fun fact, I'm the daughter of a cardiologist, so I have quite literally been speaking about eggs. Are they good for you? Are they not good for you? With my father since I was a geeky 12-year-old, let's say. And this latest study done by the American College of Cardiology really says, no, they are not bad for you. Now, they looked at people, smallish type of study, eating 12 eggs a week, and then tracked them for 4 months and found no adverse consequences, no bad effects on their bad cholesterol, which is the LDL, L for lousy, no adverse effects on their good cholesterol, H for healthy, no change in that. And I think the take-home point here, as a nutritionist, I'll tell you, I think eggs are a superfood. Mm-hmm. It has the perfect amount of vitamin D, protein, it's low calorie, etc. Only about 20% of our cholesterol number has to do with our diet. The rest of it has to do with age and genetics. Yes, diet is important. You want to kind of minimize saturated fat intake, but remember that there is very few things that are bad or good in isolation. So I think that this study just reinforces that. Yes, absolutely, it can be healthy. And if you are told you have good cholesterol and you go to eating, let's say, carrot sticks, your number's only going to drop by about 15 to 20%. That's why, in some cases, medication is necessary.
You were mentioning you only eat like two of the yolks. You eat like six eggs in the morning and two yolks.
I'm like half a dozen a
You're
day.
You're getting your protein.
Yeah, but is that bad?
I mean, if you're eating that much, then yeah, you might want to kind of make more of it egg white, but then you know what I say. The yolk's on you, DeMarco. See what I did there?
All right, Dr. Chia. Thank you. We're back in a moment. The yolk's on you.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, check it out. Welcome back to GMA3, What You Need to Know. We got a surprise announcement from Groundhog Punxsutawney Phil and his wife, Phyllis. They just had not one, but two new babies. Okay. The caretakers in Pennsylvania say it is a historic moment, the first time there's been a blessed event in captivity and 138 years.
That's kind of a big deal.
That is a huge deal.
Not one, but two groundhog
babies. Two little Punxsutawneys.
And you're fascinated with the groundhog.
Any little baby of any kind, fur baby or human baby, I love. But you know that's on my bucket list to go see Punxsutawney Phil.
Maybe you got
to
do it.
I feel like we could probably make that happen. Okay. All right, Dr. Jen, here's one of the medical questions from our viewers today. This is what they're asking. Is there a way to minimize pain during an IUD insertion, which is like one of the more painful things women ever deal
with? Listen, this is an excellent question. The short answer is absolutely yes, there is. It is 2024, pain and suffering are out. If your gynecologist or healthcare provider does not offer you pre-procedure medication, you should probably think of finding another provider. There's no reason for the pain and suffering that can go on, particularly for women who have not given birth. That is that procedure, it's a simple office procedure, doesn't mean it's without discomfort. So I would routinely pre-medicate my patients with not one, not two, but three medications. One, an over-the-counter non-steroidal for pain relief beforehand. Two, a prescription benzodiazepine, that's a low dose of the Valium class medication, so that again, they might perceive the pain but not react as strongly to it, and it's also a good muscle relaxant. And then preoperatively, an intravaginal medication that softens the cervix and makes that dilation less painful. It's not only more humane, it's safer.
All right, your prescription for
wellness. All right, staying in the OBGYN field, some foods that can help ease hot flashes, which are common for women in perimenopause and menopause. Number one, foods high in omega-3 fatty acids are overall good for you and have been shown to possibly have some benefit. Plant-based foods, 100%, also have been connected with reducing the severity and frequency of some hot flashes, also good for you. And then lastly, minimally processed soy products. But soybeans, about a half a cup a day, can reduce the severity of hot flashes by 88%.
Wow, that's a big number.
It is a big number. Yeah. So women should lean more to toward a plant-based diet.
Overall is definitely better, particularly perimenopause and menopause. Real benefits.
And Dr. Jen.
The doctor has spoken.
We have more.
Yes, yes.
She has solutions to how to manage menopause symptoms in your brand new free newsletter.
Free newsletter called Agenda.
Check
with
you
a J-E. You see what I did there? Yes, but what I'm really excited about this, it's free. People can go to my Instagram to sign up. It comes out every week and really just focusing on the two areas that I'm board certified in, women's health, obesity medicine, and nutrition.
So, do you get any sleep?
I like to write.
I love it, and we love that you write.
Thank you.
And folks, we would love to hear from you so we can keep her busy. So hit us up on Instagram with all of your medical questions at ABCGMA3. National Volunteer Month kicks off in just a few days, celebrating the incredible impact that volunteers have had across the nation. And Big Brothers, Big Sisters of America is teaming up with the NFL, I like this, to change the game.
Yeah, it's such a fun thing. They're calling it the Big Draft, and they're aiming to recruit mentors who will make a lasting difference in the lives of young people. From Big Brothers, Big Sisters of America, please welcome President and CEO Artis Stevens, and from the New York Jets, Solomon Thomas.
Hey, hey, hey! Woo.
Artis, let's start with you. I mean, how huge is this partnership?
Yeah, it's incredible. So Big Brothers, Big Sisters is the largest youth mentoring organization in the country, and our goal is to create more access and opportunity for young people. But today, we have 30,000 kids on our waiting list, 30,000. Most of those young people are boys. So we're looking to attract more men as mentors, and then we teamed up with the NFL to say, well, how can we create something really special together? And we called it the Big Draft Campaign. And the concept is simple. As the NFL is drafting the next round of players, they're hoping us to draft the next round of mentors, right, to create that level of access. And then we set up this website called BeBigNow.org, where people can go on board, raise their hand, get involved, get engaged in support, and be these incredible advocates and mentors like my man here, Solomon.
Imagine having Solomon as a mentor, right? So talk about the importance of mentoring.
Mentorship's been so big in my life. It's created the man that I'm supposed to be today. All of my mentors in my life who have made me go through all the social things I've been through, academics, sports, everything. And the crazy thing is there's so many youth who need mentors. One in three youth do not have a positive mentor to look up to. So it's so important for us to give back our experiences, everything we've been through, so we can help lead the new mentors and the new youth of our life. They're the ones who are gonna build our future, who are gonna be the next presidents, be the next engineers. So it's so important for us to give back to them so they can feel valued, themselves, feel important, and just live the best life that they can live.
Well, what do you say to people who say it feels like another job? I don't have time to mentor.
Well, the biggest thing for me is mentoring has impacted me so much because of how my mentees impact me. Every time I do an event and the littles come, I leave so much more motivated just from the things that they've been through. Like at my Christmas event with my littles, like they're all smiling, having the best time ever. And I go talk to their bigs and I ask them, hey, what have they been through recently? And they're talking about things like, hey, their mom just passed away. Hey, you know, their sisters ran away from home. And all these things, and they're smiling, having the best time ever. And just shows their perseverance, their resiliency, and just their optimism for life. It's truly impacted me so much. And if you're afraid of the time commitment, you have the time and you have, you know, the space in your life to give back to others. And I promise you, they will impact you more than you impact them.
Mm. They will fill your cup up for sure. Definitely. What does it mean to have someone like Solomon giving of his time, giving to these kids?
Yeah, it is what we say in Big Brothers Big Sisters all the time, and what we all know well, and even how I grew up and what I see in Solomon. And it's this term, if you can see it, you can be it, right? So often what we need in our communities is just role models, exposure, access, right? And you have all this potential out there with young people in every single community, and they just need the opportunity to be able to connect and see people who've come from some of the same places they come from, who can make it, who can achieve. And one of the things we really believe is this idea, right? That you don't have to be perfect to be a mentor. Mm. You just gotta be present.
That part.
Right?
Yeah.
Present and persistent in a young person's life. And as Solomon said, 90% of our bigs say that the young person made more impact in their lives than they made in theirs, right? So we know that mentorship is not one way, it's reciprocal. And when we all join together, the people that bring people together in these incredible ways, we create this awesome impact that not only makes our kids better, but make our community and our country that much better as well.
I'd love to hear that. And Solomon, you're very busy. You actually founded the Defensive Line. That's a nonprofit organization that focuses on training, education, and mental health. Mm-hmm. I love that part. Why is it important to have that?
It's so important for me. My personal experience, I lost my sister to suicide in 2018. And, you know, as a man and as a man in the NFL, I didn't feel like I could talk about it. I didn't feel like I could go to therapy. And I went through a really dark time and, you know, almost lost myself into suicide ideation. But, you know, through therapy, through work, I got back to being myself. And I understood the importance of mental health after being in the work. And I saw how many people feel alone, how many people feel like they can't talk, how many people feel like they can't go to therapy. So I'm out here. I'm trying to advocate for those who don't have a voice, who are suffering in silence, because way too many people out here are suffering, and suicide is the most preventable death. And if we talk about it, if we show people the resources, the more we talk about it, the more we keep people here and keep people alive. So it's extremely important to me and my family and just this world. We lose way too many people to suicide.
Mm-hmm. Thank you both so much for being him, artist Solomon, both for sharing your stories and for encouraging people. And you guys go out there. What's the website? Be Big?
BeBigNow.org.
And go Solomon, go Jets, right?
Jets.
Thank you again. Just ahead here on GMA3, the beauty of Ireland as a character in this new movie.
Star Carrie Condon joins us on her new film, In the Land of Saints and Sinners. It's back in a bit.
So no tricks.
I wonder if you heard anyone else in this town, you hear me?
You be there. Or we leave a special delivery that'll blow that pub all over Donegal. If that happens to us, people will come looking. People a lot worse than me. And they'll tear right through this godforsaken place. And that quaint little nosy neighbor lady of yours. No one will be safe.
Aha, that's some good acting there. Welcome back. That was a peek at the new captivating thriller In the Land of Saints and Sinners. And in the film, a retired hitman faces off with the IRA.
Yeah, and our next guest is in the heart of the action. She's kind of the major part of it, and she's here to tell us more about it. Please help us. Welcome to the studio, Oscar nominee, Carrie Condon. So we just saw you there.
Scary.
I don't exactly know how to describe your character. She's kind of crazy.
Yeah, she is. She's the baddie in the film. So, like, I had to sort of come up with a way to be this sort of deranged terrorist, really. And at the beginning of the movie, she's done this job that's gone wrong. So she's go hide out in the countryside. And then her brother goes missing and she suspects that Liam Neeson's character is responsible. So she goes out to get Liam Neeson and to kill him.
And what's it like working with Liam?
It was great. It was really great because, I mean, I've been such an admirer of him for so long. But he's trying to find me and I'm trying to find him. So we didn't have a lot of scenes together. You know, we meet finally in the end of the movie. We do find each other. But I was more worried about the fact that he's really tall. And I have to be menacing, and I'm half the size of him, and I'm supposed to be, like, terrifying. So I was like, oh, my God. And then I remember Joe Pesci in Goodfellas, and I was like, actually, hang on a minute. Yeah, maybe I can do it. Yeah.
You could do it, anyone could, right? Well, you delivered.
Thanks.
I didn't perceive any height differential. But the film is set in your homeland, Ireland. What was it like filming there? And, you know, we heard that you were a little distracted at one point with some baby lambs, which
baby
I find adorable. So was it distracting being home, or do you get that sense of, like, I'm home?
Oh, no, it was really, really lovely, because there was some people on the crew who had been on Banshees also, and we filmed it quite, soon after Banshees. And it wouldn't be distracting. I mean, obviously, I'm being paid to do a job, so you know what I mean? I'm not looking at butterflies in the middle of a take or whatever. But it was the season for baby lambs, and where I was staying, they were all outside my window with their mammies, like, frolicking. It was, God, it was
beautiful.
So beautiful.
Aren't they noisy, too?
Yeah, but they're cute and noisy.
Awesome, Tate. Let's enjoy the lambs.
It's so pretty. And then the ocean is just for infinity. Mm. So it was really magical being there and calming in between, like, the scenes and stuff. Yeah, exactly.
The title of this is In the Land of Saints and Sinners. And as you watch it all unfold, you see the good and the bad in a lot of these characters. How was that playing? Because you have to have some soft side, but also you're deranged.
Yeah, and that's sort of human, though, as well, you know, and that's what I like about things when you're not all one thing, because I don't think anyone really is all one thing. So, you know, there had to be moments of humanity for her to kind of justify her motives for certain things. Like, she does love her brother, and, you know, there is genuine love for certain people there. So I tried to play with that and to make her more of an all-rounded character, as opposed to just, like, I'm one note bad, and, you know, that's a bit boring to watch, I think, personally. I think it is, anyways. So, yeah.
And was it an automatic yes when you were presented with this role?
Oh, yeah, because I'd never played a baddie before in an action movie, do you know? And then just getting paid to be angry all the time. It was so nice, yeah.
You are really angry in this movie.
Yeah, it's really relaxing being angry all the time.
It's a good release, right?
Yeah, it is.
What are you working on next?
So next, now I go to Abu Dhabi in a week to start back the Formula One job that I'm doing, yeah, with Brad Pitt. Yeah, it's super cool, all about Formula One. Yeah, that's why my hair's all blonde now. And I'll do that, because we only started a little bit of that before the strike, so I've, like, the whole thing of that to shoot. So that'll be fun, hopefully.
That's very cool.
Do you get to drive the cars?
I don't get to drive a car, no. But that's okay, because I ride horses, so, you know, that's good enough for me.
Well, Carrie Condon, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much for having me. Mm-hmm.
In the Land of Saints and Sinners is in theaters starting tomorrow.
That was fun.
Yay.
And we're back in just a moment.
Roxy has some good news for our viewers. What's up, Roxy?
Oh, yeah, I have some really, really, really good news. Our sponsor, Bonjour Quebec, is giving one lucky viewer a memorable all-inclusive trip for two to the ultimate all-season destination of Quebec. Located in eastern Canada, Quebec shares borders with Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, and New York. Now, the trip includes not one, but two of their magnificent cities, Montreal and Quebec City. It's the ultimate travel destination, from the views, the people, the arts, and, of course, one of my favorites, the food. From the moment you set foot in Quebec, you will be transported to another world. Now, the best part about Quebec, there's something there for everyone, from strolling the cobblestone streets to enjoying the delicious restaurants and dancing the night away at one of the many festivals. Or if you're looking for a little bit more adventure, you can hike through the national parks or go skiing or whale watching. You could literally do it all in Quebec. Now, this incredible trip includes round trip airfare, a 5-day, 4-night stay at two Fairmont hotels located in Montreal and Quebec City, plus transportation, meals, and activities. And if you're in need of a little getaway, this is it for you. Just head over to gma3giveaways.com for official rules and enter for your chance to win. I mean, come on, guys. How's that for a little bit of a vacation?
I'm ready to travel now.
Yeah, yeah.
It's inspired me to start looking for some plane tickets
also,
somewhere.
The food there is so good.
Is it? It's mm-hmm. amazing.
Thanks,
all right, Roxy.
Roxy,
thank you.
And that is what you need to know for this Thursday. I'm Eva Pilgrim.
I'm DeMarco Morgan. For all of us here at ABC News, including Dr. Jan, have a good one, and we will see you tomorrow.
Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip. In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one Group Text you won't want to exit.